How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locking in for episode 162 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Thunder don't play. They beat the Jazz over the weekend. They don't play on Monday, but Sundays, well, we're recording this on Sunday a couple hours before the selection show. So I got John Hamm on the line right now, and we're going to do just an NBA-style selection show right now. John, you got your picks out, right?
I do. I have a definitive list. I spent in excess of 2 minutes putting it together.
Wow. I admire your commitment to the pod. I spent in excess of 2 minutes putting it together. Could be like the slogan for my podcast. Locked On Thunder, where I spent in excess of 2 minutes putting it together. It's an incredible feat.
It flows right off the tongue, too.
Exactly. Well, so the rules here are, if you know how Selection Sunday works, we're doing Selection Sunday, too, except it's going up Monday morning, so you get it on delay. Only it's all NBA teams. So we're going, there's 16 playoff teams, so we're basically just going for one region. We're seeding the equivalent of one region. I still like to pretend the NCAA tournament is 64 and not 68 teams. So we're doing one region. Do you want to add a play-in game for a 16 seed? I didn't think about that. You want to have a play-in game? Let's have a play-in game.
Okay.
You can add your 17th team on a whim. And I guess we'll just go through and we'll go through 1, 2, 3 and see if we have any disagreements and then we can fight it out first take style.
I have no doubt that we will be in disagreement, so.
All right, let's get this started. Who's your one seed?
My one seed is Golden State.
Okay, yeah,
of course. That seems fairly obvious.
Did you debate putting San Antonio? They're tied in the loss column right now. I think if someone put, I have Golden State too, but I think if you put San Antonio number one, like I think a reasonable person who's very knowledgeable can justify putting San Antonio one.
Yeah, I do. I think this team, if Kevin Durant had not gotten injured, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. So I feel like that, you know, by the playoffs, he's going to be healthy. He should be playing then. So I'm going to stick with it. Golden State number one for now.
Sure. And for the record, our criteria here is we're going by basically the same thing as the selection committee. Now, it's a little bit different than when the selection committee does it because they don't have, like, trades and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, we're just kind of making up how we're doing this. And if you disagree with how we do it, then that's great, but we don't care.
Yeah, do your own then. Yeah,
exactly. Have your own selection committee podcast. yeah, Golden State's pretty obvious. Just look at, like, people talk about how their record is worse than it was last year and they're 52-14 or whatever they are. But, like, okay, let's see this. Golden State's net rating right now, They're 11.1 points per possessions, outscoring their opponents by 11.1 points per 100 possessions. And last year, they were outscoring opponents by 11.6 points per 100 possessions. So they are pretty much in line. I mean, a little bit worse, but they are pretty much in line with what they were doing. And before the Durant injury, I think they were up over 12.
So, yeah, they were 12 or 13 at some point.
Yeah, so I mean, this, it's amazing. And like to put that in perspective, they're outscoring opponents by 11.1 points per 100. San Antonio is second at 8.9 points per 100, and after that, it's just a huge drop off. So they're still, by pretty much any measure, they've been the best team in the league. I think they deserve to be one. I think we both know who's going to be number two, right?
I think we do.
Yeah, Spurs.
Okay.
obvious. Of course they are. You know, I thought they were going to drop, like, I thought they were going to be, like, 13 games worse this year than they were last year.
Winning 67 last season seemed like a bit of an outlier.
And their organization is an outlier.
Well, this is true.
That's the thing. That's what, like, I mean, I'm not going to say I realized that because, like, duh, they won 50 games. They won at a 50-win pace 20 years in a row. Literally. Like, literally, they have won at a 50-win pace 20 years in a row. But, I mean, it's just amazing that they could have so much turnover, that they could have bring in big men like Gasol and David Lee to recover with losing Tim Duncan. They could still be number one in defense.
Yeah, and Dwayne Dedmon, just plucking him off the Orlando Magic. And
he's good. He's good. Paid.
Legitimately good.
Unless Sabonis ruined his life the other night, he's going to get paid.
But yeah, you know, he came up through the Warriors D League team and got some time with Golden State and a little bit of time with Orlando. And Orlando said, no, we can't have you back. We have got to give Bismack Biyombo more money than is rational. So
and
good
he's
for
had
them.
A better he's had a better year than Biyombo.
Yeah. How about that too?
Yeah. We might have some discrepancy here. Who you got at three?
I have three, I have Cleveland.
Okay. Our first disagreement.
Okay.
I have Houston.
I can understand why. I can get that. I feel like that Cleveland, and maybe I'm looking at this too of, you know, any team with LeBron James, you know, kind of, I kind of give them an edge in that area. Obviously, you know, they've had some turmoil this season and they've had some bad losses and they've had a really rough stretch, you know, over the past several games, but, maybe I'm just thinking by the end of the season, I could safely, you know, plant them as a three seed.
Yeah. So, okay. Here was my justification in putting Houston over them. I think if the finals comes down to Houston and Cleveland, I would pick Cleveland in that series.
Mm-hmm.
But for all the crap that Houston gets about its defense, Houston's defense has been way better than Cleveland's defense this year.
True.
They're averaging like 2 points per 100. Their defensive efficiency is like 2 points per 100 better than Cleveland's this year. They've got a historically good offense. And it just doesn't look like they have a historically good offense because the Warriors' offense, which is also historically good, has been statistically better than theirs. But this is like the two best team offenses we've seen in the NBA in literally decades from an efficiency standpoint. It's amazing what both those two offenses are doing. Now, okay, so if we're taking the actual selection committee mindset, they're grading based on what you've done, not necessarily projecting how you're going to do in the tournament. That's why, like, when, you know, a team is missing a really good player for most of the season, say, because of injury, and they get him back for, you know, conference tournament weeks, it doesn't necessarily help their seeding now that they have that great player. They're not going to get a 1 or 2 seed now if they have 12 losses going into the tournament. They're still going to be a 10 seed. You're not necessarily projecting how they're going to do. Cleveland, I think, is 17-14 since New Year's. They've really struggled on the defensive end of the ball. The Kevin Love injury, I think, has hurt them to a pretty large degree. LeBron's going to carry them to the finals. I think they're going to end up being fine. But just by, like, selection committee criteria, by the what have you actually done for me, not the what do I think you will do for me, I think Houston deserves that three over Cleveland.
Okay. And I mean, yeah, that take is so hot that the fire department has shown up, apparently.
You can hear the traffic. So I'm in New York early for the Nets game.
And this okay.
So now you can hear, you get the natural sounds of New York now.
Okay. So that's how New York sounds. All right. Awesome.
New York is so loud, man. It's unbelievable compared to Oklahoma. Oklahoma, like, it's funny. Like, I lived in New York for over 2 decades of my life and got so used to it. And now that I live in Oklahoma, I come back to New York and I just notice how much louder it is. Because, like, when I'm home, like, a car will drive by my street, like, once a night. And I'll be like, oh, my God, this is insane how loud it is.
How can people live like this?
Right. And, like, this is just natural sound.
Yeah.
Okay, so I assume your four, then, is Houston.
My four is Houston.
Okay.
And your four is?
Cleveland. Cleveland.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So we're okay there. Okay. Here, I think 5 through 16 is where we're going to get funky.
This could get fun.
Who's your five?
My five, I have Washington.
Okay. My five, I have Utah.
All right.
Give me Washington. Sell me on Washington.
I really like what Washington has done since that rough, 2-8 start to the season?
Yeah, and 6-13 start to the season.
Yeah. I feel like Scott Brooks is probably, if the season ended right now, he's probably getting my non-existent coach of the year vote.
Yeah, I think that's a totally reasonable vote.
Yep.
He's done a great job.
Yep. So, and again, just, with Beal, Wall, Porter, obviously, what they're able to, kind of tame Markieff Morris. We have not had like any sort of noise out of Markieff Morris this year. I think that's a victory. I really like them, and I really, especially picking up Bogdanovich at the trade deadline. That has turned out to be like maybe the best trade deadline acquisition. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid to say that definitively, or that fire truck might come back.
No, it was the best. Nurkic was the best.
Well, and that's why I hedge. And I know people are probably screaming boogie right now. No, I'm thinking Nurkic or Bogdanovich.
Yeah, Nurkic was the best one. Bogdanovich, they gave up a first, so let's see,
Yeah,
that's true. Granted, they gave up a first so they could also get rid of Andrew Nicholson's contract, but they did give up a first for a rental of Boyan. But Boyan could always score. I'll tell you what, I covered Boyan for like a year and a half, and he could always score. He was just never in a really good situation for him.
Yeah.
He was always a good offensive player. He will never be a difference maker on the defensive end, but he can shoot, and he's better off the dribble than guys realize that he is. Like, he's good. He's really good at finding space within an offense and moving off the ball and all that. He's a really good offensive player.
I low-key kind of hoped Oklahoma City would wind up with him, and I think they kind of got a bit of a poor man's version of him in McDermott, but that's a guy I would have liked to have seen the Thunder got for pretty much all the reasons you just mentioned.
Yeah, so my five is Utah. Yes, just because I think – so if the season started 20 games into the season, mm-hmm. then my five would be Washington. Maybe my four would be Washington. But it didn't. And I don't think it's fair just to ignore that they started off 6-13 or whatever it was. Like, I don't think we can just say, all right, since they've been playing great, that doesn't count. And I think it does. And I feel the same way about, like, when people talk about, like, Eric Spoelstra should be coach of the year. I'm not knocking mm-hmm. the job Eric Spoelstra's done. He's done a great job, and he should be in the conversation. And I think he's a great coach who has been – I think he gets the recognition he gets now, but for many years, he didn't get the recognition he deserved because people said he was piggybacking on big names in Miami. But he is a great coach, and I'm certainly not arguing otherwise. But the argument for Spoelstra is, look at how well they played since starting 11-30, and this team didn't quit. Look at the culture he's created, and all of that stuff is true, and it's amazing. But it's not like somebody else was the coach when they started 11-30.
Right. Yeah,
he was still coaching a team that started 11-30. If this team came out and did this from the start of the year, then I'm buying that argument. And I think Spoelstra mm-hmm. He's not a good coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's absolutely great. He's great. But just in terms of these awards, I think sometimes we have a tendency like that's really out speaking recency bias out loud. Look at how mm-hmm. they've turned it around. Is really recency bias because nobody would say, look at how they started and then they went 11-30 in their last 41 games. Look at how impressive that start was. No one says that. Right. It's just a recency bias thing. So I don't think you can necessarily ignore the Wizards. That's why I have Utah 5. I think they're a little more balanced too. So I have Utah 5, and then I actually have Washington 6. Who do you have at 6?
Okay, and I have Utah.
So we're switching stuff around.
Yeah, we are. And again, that was basically a toss-up because I understand, too, that Utah's had a lot of injuries this season that, kind of warps their record somewhat. And when they're fully healthy, they are a bear of a basketball team. So, definite case could be made there, but unfortunately, they haven't been healthy this season. So we have to, again, go by what we see.
Who's your seven?
My seven, and I think this is where I really start getting sticky. I have Boston at seven.
So do I.
Okay.
We didn't read these lists to each other at all at the start.
No, we did not.
I am finding this out as the listener does. Yeah, I feel
pretty comfortable
then. Yeah, I kind of thought Boston, you could argue, could be lower.
Yeah.
I know they're playing well lately, and they've got a really good roster, and Isaiah Thomas is freaking awesome. He's mm-hmm. so good, and he's so much fun to watch. And Horford has become underappreciated again, I think. Jay Crowder's really good, and Brad Stevens is a great coach. But you know what? They're 17th in defense.
Yeah.
This team should not be 17th in defense. With Marcus Smart getting playing time and Avery Bradley, yeah. who's a first-team all-defense guy last year and is not having quite as good of a year defensively this year, but is still really good. And Crowder and Horford, like this, I know they don't have a huge rim protector, but this team should not be 17th in defense.
And this is the thing, like I was having a conversation last night about the MVP candidates, and obviously there's the big four that people are debating right now. I was asked about Isaiah Thomas, and I said, well, I'd put him comfortably at fifth. You can't ignore how bad his defense is. And so, yeah, he does a lot of wonderful things for that team on the offensive end, no doubt. And especially you look at his clutch time stats. I mean, we bragged about that on Russell Westbrook all season. Isaiah Thomas is, you know, a handful in clutch time as well. But
yeah, he's averaging over 10 points per fourth quarter this year.
Yeah. Which is crazy. he's been phenomenal. But I can't overlook the defensive issues, and I think that is contributing somewhat to what you mentioned, where Boston is standing defensively.
Yep. You know, everyone talks about how Isaiah Thomas has been great in fourth quarters this year. And look, Russell Westbrook has defensive issues too, and James Harden has defensive issues too. So this is not something that necessarily eliminates you from being an MVP candidate. But, you know, if you look at the times when Isaiah Thomas is on the floor during fourth quarters, the Celtics actually aren't amazing. Even though he's got these unbelievable offensive numbers in crunch time, and there's a lot of noise in those. There's a bunch of different types of situations, and it's small sample size. It's a bunch of different. Even if you get to a large sample size, clutch numbers are still just a bunch of small sample sizes clustered together, and they might be all totally irrelevant, you know, compared to each other. So you always have to take that with like the entire shaker of salt.
Yes,
but they're good for like they're not good for projecting, but they are good for a what has happened argument. And I know their defense is not good enough for me, and crunch time is not good enough overall for me to have them higher. I debated putting them lower. Who you got at eight?
At eight, I have the Clippers of LA.
Oh, we're at it again.
Okay. And it's funny how you just mentioned that, how we always talk about what a team has done lately and not, you know, if a team started off hot and then tapered off. The Clippers started off the season, like, hot.
Like flaming. Best team in the league hot.
Flaming hot, yeah.
Like these fire engines are going to be coming for them.
Exactly. And obviously they've had their injury issues as well, but, you know, taking the whole body of work, I slotted them just under Boston. And I mean, yeah, just under.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense has fallen off. That's what it was. The first month and a half of the season, they were number one in defense. Now they're, let's see, I got this up. They were number one in defense first half of the season, and now they're... Man, where are you, LA Clippers? I can't even find them. They're
scroll,
not even on the
scroll,
map. They're 14th.
Yeah.
And that's a problem for them. I mean, look, they've had a lot of injuries. Blake Griffin has been hurt, and Chris Paul has been hurt, and they're not going to be good if Blake Griffin and Chris Paul are hurt. And they've had games without both of those guys. But since those two came back, they haven't. It's not like they came back and they've all of a sudden been great. And that's, you know, that's been a problem for them. They're not great. This is the worst that group has played together in a long time.
Yeah, I think there was a point where, you know, they could have been like in the top three or four in this list, I think fairly easily. But
they could have been in the top two.
Yeah.
This team has more talent. That way. This team has more talent than the Spurs do.
Mm-hmm.
If you just look at it on paper, they have more talent than the Spurs do. They're going to have they have the most interesting offseason in the NBA coming up. Chris Paul, yes, Blake Griffin, and you know, people say Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are free agents. J.J. Redick's also a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Could just be DeAndre alone on an island there.
And, I mean, it's great that Ballmer is a multi-billionaire and money is no object to him. But, I mean, there are impacts to signing these guys to five-year deals when you look at how far they've actually been able to go and that there's going to be a drop-off at some point considering their age. It is. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
That it is. Who you got at nine?
At nine, I put the Raptors.
Wow, we're pretty similar. Nine, I've got the Raptors too. I would have put, if it weren't for the Lowry injury, I would have had them higher probably. They're another team. Got off to a real hot start to the season. The offense was historically incredible. They were up at like 114 points per 100. Now they're down to 110 points per 100. Which is still a fantastic number. They're fourth in offense. They're a great offensive team when Kyle Lowry is healthy. It's amazing the way that Dwayne Casey has put them together. And I love, you know, his nickname that, shoot, I'm forgetting his name. Their color commentator, Armstrong. Jack Armstrong. You know the nickname that the local broadcast has got for DeMar DeRozan now?
I do.
Love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it should become a thing. The Lone Mid-Ranger. I think that's so funny. I think it's great.
That is great.
It's such a good nickname. It should absolutely become a thing.
So good.
Yeah, I think that's great. And DeRozan, I have no idea how the heck he's so good, but he is that good.
Yeah.
At least offensively. I mean, he gets hung up defensively at times, but he's just such a good offensive player in such an unconventional way in 2017, but yeah, the Lowry injury hurt it for me. They could be better than Boston if, you know, they fell off a little bit before Lowry got hurt too. But they could be better than Boston for me. They could be better than the Clippers. If we did this a month ago, I probably would have had them higher than those two teams. Before the Wizards really started playing like how they are, they were the second best team in the East at the start of the year. But they've just kind of fallen off. So I got them at nine now.
Yeah.
Who's your 10?
Okay, my 10 is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow, did you copy my list?
are we on that same wavelength? Are we that connected?
I think, you know what I think this is? I think this is a case of two people who talk a lot and hang out a lot and talk a lot about basketball, then coming up with things separately and realizing that we like unintentionally influence each other's opinions on everything.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable how that works.
Yeah, give me your Thunder take.
Yeah, my Thunder take is, you know, the past couple of games, obviously, that they've won against really good teams, but getting a couple of huge advantages because of guys being out due to rest or injury. But it's the way that they've played that kind of shows you how good this team could actually be. I mean, this team is a lot better than the team that went and lost four in a row in horrific fashion. We've seen this team just, again, the way that they've played against Cleveland, you know, at Utah earlier this season. I mean, they have shown that they can be a really good team. I wouldn't say special, but I think a really good team. And I think if you eliminate some of those stretches where they just completely lost their way, I mean, maybe you could even nudge them up on the list a little bit. But I feel good about slotting them at 10.
Yeah, the way Memphis has played lately helps them a lot too.
Yeah, no kidding.
I felt a little weird putting them at 10, because what's interesting is their net rating is still in the negatives.
Yeah.
And so I felt a little weird putting them at 10, but like you look at the teams below them and it's like Memphis doesn't have one that matches up either. And same thing with Atlanta. And then you got a bunch of teams that kind of started off poorly or have been inconsistent or just aren't quite as good. And even, you know, you look at those numbers and you're just like, that team is definitely not as good as the Thunder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just felt like throwing them in there at 10 was the right way to go about it.
And that's just another thing when people have the MVP conversation. Again, we mentioned the four worthy candidates. But when you look at Oklahoma City that has had just a barely, you know, plus or minus net rating this season, this should be a 500 ball club. But they're not. And it's because of Russell Westbrook. It's something to keep in mind when people are trying to come up with their vote.
Next up, 11. I have the Grizzlies. I know they're not playing bad. I know they're not playing well at all. They've lost five in a row. They're falling off. But overall body of work, they're still a strong defensive team. although the defense has not been as good lately. They've still got two guys who I think are all-star caliber players in Gasol and in Mike Conley. I've got the Grizzlies there. And honestly, I think at this point, everyone else is just kind of, eh. Like, I don't look at anyone, I'm like, oh, yeah, that team.
Right.
I'm just kind of like, meh. So yeah. Why not? Well, why not Memphis?
For example, I've got Atlanta at 11.
Yeah, sure. That's, you know what my reaction to that is?
That.
Meh.
Yeah. I mean, defensively, it's kind of where I gave them the edge. It's sure. Atlanta's good defensive team. They're really bad offensively, but I mean, I appreciate a good defensive team. So if I'm the committee, I'm giving them an edge.
Sure, that's perfectly fair. I mean, Memphis is a good defensive team too, but Atlanta has Memphis fallen off lately. They've fallen off. They don't look like the same team. And I guess that's me falling victim to the same thing that I was talking about before, that recency bias.
But, yeah, but on the other hand, Memphis is since the All-Star break is the worst defensive team in the league.
Wow, are they really?
They are really.
I didn't realize that they was
114.5 per 100, and they
horrible.
A negative 7.6 net rating.
114.5 per 100 is horrible.
The Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, we're not talking about the 76ers or the Nets. We're talking about the grit and grind. So that's where I dinged them.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's real bad. That being said, it's always easier to find those numbers when they're post All-Star break. If that came in a 7-game stretch from like January 15th to January 30th, we wouldn't discount them.
Right. Sure.
But sure. That said, they've lost 5 in a row. So
yeah,
it's not like they've been playing well. Number 11, I've got Memphis. You've got Atlanta. Number 12, I've got Atlanta at 12.
Okay. And I have Memphis at 12.
Yeah. I just, honestly, that's fine. Atlanta over Memphis. I'm like perfectly fine with that, with the way that they've been playing lately. They deserve to be knocked down a little bit, because that's not recency bias. That's just like 35 or 36-25, which is what they were 5 games ago, is a lot better than 36-30. So, yeah. So I mean, that certainly has something to do with it. I just think Memphis has a better roster, honestly.
Yeah, they do.
They have a lot of guys who they play who I'm just like, that guy's not good. You know, when I see Harrison out there and his 32% field goal percentage, although he doesn't really play anymore. But so many minutes for a guy who just could not make a shot. It's like if Samaje Christen was just getting consistent minutes all year and was like handling the ball the whole time when he was in. Weird stuff from that team, and obviously there are the injuries and that kind of stuff. I just don't think Atlanta's – look, Budenholzer's a great coach. He's a great coach.
He really is.
Because that Atlanta team has the same record as the Thunder. And I don't think that Atlanta roster is that good. And
isn't it amazing? Said,
Dwight Howard is now very, very underrated.
He definitely is. And remember when the Hawks were supposed to be tanking after the Korver trade? Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, they were going to get rid of Millsap. And
Yeah,
Millsap doesn't get enough love. He's awesome. He's another reason why that team is better than they should be.
Yeah.
Because he's so good. We got a 13. I feel like my 13 is funky.
Okay, mine might be as well. You want to hear mine?
You want to say it on three?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Miami.
Miami.
Oh!
How about that? I love it.
Yes. Dion Waiters love.
Yeah. And again, the recency bias that we've already discredited about 20 minutes ago. Miami has the best net rating since the All-Star break.
Yeah. Look, Miami, okay, here's why I have them 5. Because of all the remaining teams, at this point, I'm not even necessarily looking for – at the top teams, I'm looking for balance. Mm-hmm. At this point, where you're just trying to get like a 4-13 or a 3-14 or a 2-15 upset or something like that, I'm looking for, is someone just going to dominate somebody on one side of the ball? Miami's a top 5 defense.
Yeah.
Miami defends, and they've got players. Like, Dragic is having – like, no one is talking about – how great of a year Goran Dragic is having. He's having a great season. He was third team All NBA a few years ago, and he is putting up better numbers this year than he did in his third team All NBA season.
It's pretty remarkable. So yeah, Miami is like that college team that had a tough non-conference schedule and got off to a bad start and then picked it up in conference play and then won their conference tournament.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. That's exactly what they are. And now they're heading in as like a low seed and they end up upsetting someone and like making to the Sweet 16 as a low seed.
Right.
on the back of Dion Waiters.
Yes.
Can we do something? I'm going to do some because this is Thunder fans do have this unreasonable love for Dion Waiters. And I say unreasonable in truly the most loving and caring way possible. Because all fandom is unreasonable. But
it is.
I just need to read this off. Since January 21st, Dion Waiters, 19.6 points a game. This is in 31 minutes. 19.6 points a game. So per 36, he's like 22. 19.6 points a game, 5.1 assists a game, 3.6 rebounds a game. He's 47% from the field. And on 6 3-point attempts a game, he is 46 from 3.
That's amazing.
The island is getting inundated with tourism.
And you know, it's so strange because like when he first came to the Thunder, he had like a really solid 5 games or so, and I tweeted out in support of him like, I'm all in on Dion Waiters. And then right after that, he stunk for like a good 2 weeks. And like I took so much grief over that tweet. And then I promptly swam to and from the island, you know, several times during his OKC tenure. But, you know, I was always one that, like, I always saw the value that he could bring, even when people thought he was terrible and needed to be waived or what have you. And I'm just ecstatic that, you know, he went to Miami for the opportunity, not for the money. He would not have come to Oklahoma City, you know, for $3 million. He went to Miami because he wanted that opportunity. And I mean, bless his heart, he's cashed in.
He's going to make a lot of money, I think.
I think so, finally.
He's going to make a lot of money. It's what that organization does for people. That organization is an unbelievable organization. And right as we're talking about this, David Aldridge just tweeted that Goran Dragic has an orbital contusion and will not play tonight against the Pacers.
Oh, that stinks.
Against the Pacers. Speaking of the Pacers...
Are they your 14?
They're my 14.
They are my 14.
My goodness, this is boring.
Really thought we were going to have some heated debates here.
But. We haven't had one team that's... Most of them are in line, and the ones that aren't are literally only one spot off.
Yeah, they're flip-flopped. Yep.
Yeah, we haven't had one. They've just been flip-flopped. All right, so let's be boring and talk about the Pacers. Paul George is good at basketball.
Yeah, Jeff Teague's done all-star stuff in the past. They have, I don't know, just nothing about that team just gets me excited.
Yeah, they're average. They're 15th in offense. They're like 18th in defense. They're average. Miles Turner's going to be a great player, I think, but he's not a great player yet, which is fine.
Right.
He's 21 years old. There are no 21-year-olds who are already great players except for Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I mean, they're okay. They're merely okay. Paul George is a great player. They downgraded at point guard. Jeff Teague is not as good as George Hill and has not had as good of a year as George Hill had. They got rid of a lot of defensive personnel. Like, what was so silly? They were third in defense last year, and then they got rid of Mahimi, and they got rid of Solomon Hill, and they got rid of George Hill, and now they're 18th in defense. It's like, well, you got rid of your... three of your four best defensive players, and maybe your most impactful defensive player in Mahimi, but a great defensive season last season. And am I even saying that was like a terrible let him walk because Mahimi has played like one game in Washington and that contract looks like a disaster. But it's just the way the roster was constructed, the way they went about replacing him, bringing in Al Jefferson and that kind of stuff, it doesn't help. It does not help with the stuff that they lost. You know, Frank Vogel, too, one of the best defensive coaches in the league, and they replaced him with Nate McMillan. It's just they're average. They're mediocre.
Yep. could have been a lot better. But like you said, just a lot of puzzling moves by Larry Legend. So
who you got at 15? This one we might disagree on.
Okay, I have Milwaukee.
Okay, great. Great. I don't have Milwaukee anywhere here.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. I have Portland.
You have Portland. Okay.
Yes, I got weird with Portland.
Yeah, I see that.
Because on the season, it doesn't make sense that Portland would be there.
Right. But recency bias says.
No, it's not recency bias. It's that their roster is different. They made a great trade.
Yep.
It's not that they're playing better. They are better. Like they
got a much better player to play center for them.
They needed a big man, and now they have a big man who just put up 28, 20, and 8 in a game. Like they have a tremendously talented young center now who is working great for them and is playing incredible basketball since they acquired him. They're better. He's better than Mason Plumlee right now. So I put him there. Their defense still sucks. But you got Nurkic and you got Dame and you got McCollum. Like they are going to be able to they can outscore you on any night.
I guess I took the opposite track. Is that I much like that year when Cincinnati was one of the best teams in the year, and then Kenyon Martin broke his leg prior to the tournament. I'm looking at Milwaukee the entire season with Jabari Parker, and probably factoring that in a little bit more than I probably should have. And I'm a bit of a Bucks homer. I can't help it. I like that team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, they're record wise, they're right there. I mean, they have a better record than Miami does, I think. And you know, the best argument for them is what they're a top 10 offense. They have a really good net rating, right? They're 10th in the NBA in net rating.
Mm-hmm.
They have a better net rating than Miami, than Memphis, than Atlanta, than the Thunder, than a lot of these teams, than Denver, than Portland, than Dallas, than a lot of these teams that are in contention. So
I think that matters.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Look, at this point, it's like they're all whatever.
Yep.
They're fine. Who you got in the play-in game?
The play-in game, I have Dallas and Detroit.
Okay. I have Denver and Detroit.
Okay. I like what Dallas looks like now. I know that they looked, and much like you said with Portland, they're better since they moved away from Bogut and Darren Williams and have kind of turned the keys over to Yogi Ferrell and Seth Curry. So I think they're a better team lately. And I think they're going to wind up probably snagging that 8 seed before it's all said and done in the West.
Sure. And in true college basketball form, you're giving the advantage to the team with the really good coach who has a history of winning. That is always what happens when it comes to the selection committee and a team on the fence.
Yeah, it's like, well, they've got Bob Huggins. You know, we got to let Bob Huggins in. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what happened. I feel like that happens with Syracuse whenever they're on the fringe.
Right.
Oh, yeah. God, let Jim Boeheim in. Like, okay, well, that's great. And then they.
Yeah. He has a streak we have to maintain or something.
Except so. I don't know if that'll end up happening this year.
Yeah.
But, all right, so I really didn't want to put Detroit. Maybe I should have put Milwaukee in there instead of Detroit. Denver's just got a lot of talent. I mean, They've got too many players. Moutier doesn't even play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They've still got too many guys even after trading Nurkic. That trade's going to look like a disaster. Not only did they give up Nurkic, they also gave up a first round pick for the right to re-sign Mason Plumlee.
Hats off to Neil O'Shea for pulling that off.
Neil O'Shea's a good GM. He gave out some bad contracts this summer. He gave out some bad contracts this summer, some ill-advised moves, but he's incredibly bright. They have a really good front office. They're a good organization.
Yeah, they are.
That was I don't know how they pulled that off. I don't know how they did that one. But Denver, I still think, is there. They've still got a lot of talent. You know, they've got veterans in Chandler and in Gallinari and in Fareed, who has had a pretty good year. They've got the young guys like, you know, Gary Harris and the best player on their team and Nikola Jokic, who is now just a certified stud. I saw his certificate. It's real. He's a stud. but they're not really good. They've got a really nice future. And I don't know. I was just like at the point where I was like, well, we decided we're doing a play-in, so let's go Detroit.
Yeah.
Denver. And I really didn't want to put Detroit in.
I am not fired up about them at all. Yeah, I'm just not.
They're so depressed. They're like one of the most depressing teams to watch in the whole league. They're so depressing to watch. They're really bad to watch. They play such unjoyous basketball, which is such a shame because Stan teams are usually not like that.
Yeah. But enough about Reggie Jackson.
And do you have a first four out?
I don't.
Just say it's Drexel. Drexel's in your first four.
Okay. Drexel and Denver and Portland. Yeah.
It's not a first four out if it doesn't have Drexel.
Yeah, it's got to have. No one else in the East gets me excited. I don't think I could put Chicago or Charlotte in the first four out. So
yeah, worth noting. I know we said that the term recency bias about 400 times, but let's see if this is still true. I think it is. Minnesota's got the best defensive rating since the All-Star break.
That's something.
I don't know if it's something. But it exists.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It is a thing. That's true. Yep. I think that's right. Does that sound right to you? Are we going to find out if it's right? We're going to find out if it's right. This is the beauty of having this call
since,
right now.
Since the All-Star break.
They're second.
The second, yeah, because the Spurs.
The Spurs are in one. Yeah. But they got a plus 7.2 net rating.
Yeah.
Since the All-Star break.
That's remarkable. I mean, considering losing LaVine. I mean, not that LaVine was lighting it up on the defensive end, but
no tips. They've been real good. They've been one of the best teams in the league since the All-Star break from a just point differential and production standpoint. So small sample size, that's not going to keep up. And that doesn't necessarily mean they deserve to be in, because I don't think they deserve to be in because they've been pretty terrible for most of the season. But, you can look into that for next year. Maybe next year when you're looking at your preseason over-unders or whatnot, you can be like, hey, remember how hot Minnesota finished last year? Maybe they won't be terrible on defense now.
Yeah.
All right. Anything?
Not a bad idea.
Anything? I didn't even intro you.
Oh, yeah. Probably not necessary. People that listen to the
probably podcast. Not necessary. Oh, my God. What a confident man on the offensive line right now.
Well, I don't mean to brag, but I was recently followed by Entertainment Tonight's Twitter account, so.
Probably not necessary. That is incredible. You said that so sheepishly, like you didn't even realize how that came off. That was awesome. That's my all-time favorite John Hamm moment, including all six seasons of Mad Men. That's my all-time favorite John Hamm moment.
There you go. Even
like the three episode cameo in 30 Rock, like that is the best. All right, anything to plug?
Not at the moment. Nope. Nothing immediately on the horizon outside of my radio work. So there's that.
All right. Well, find John the Franchise and Bleacher Report and on Twitter at John M. Hamm. You can find me at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, like I said, at the top of the show, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see it there. The Thunder, I'm in New York right now because the Thunder play in Brooklyn on Tuesday night. There's a huge nor'easter coming to New York. So I don't know what's going to happen with the league. I don't know if that game – like it's supposed to get 18 inches of snow late Monday night into Tuesday. So,
oh, man.
So I feel like it's – I'm going to be monitoring that because it's rare, but there are instances where the league has had to postpone games because of weather. And if there is like an effective blizzard going on in New York, there might not be a basketball game going on at that moment. Like I know that teams are already talking about maybe not even having shoot around just so they don't have to deal with the snow. So they're already trying to make accommodations. I don't know if the league's going to do anything about it. I'm sure my employer would be ecstatic about spending money to send me to New York for no reason whatsoever, but I get a trip home. So, I'll take it.
And that's going to be interesting because like trying to reschedule this game, this late season,
I know. And like, it may not be necessary. If you remember, I think the Celtics played a game against someone like 3 years ago where it was never made up. And like the Thunder aren't, if they are within a game and a half or more of the two teams on either end of them, it doesn't matter. And maybe it would matter for lottery purposes for the Nets, but probably not because they're so much worse than everybody right now. So it may actually not end up mattering. Maybe they end up doing it like the day after the last day of the season.
Right.
But I haven't looked at the schedule. That's something I plan on doing depending on what happens, just to see just common off days when they can have it, because there aren't a lot left. But this is certainly interesting to see how that's going to go. Anyway, I will be back with you tomorrow previewing that Nets game. John, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, as always.
Until tomorrow, Lockdown Thunder is locking up.
The High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.